The volume down. I'm going to open up a prayer. Today is, I don't even know the date. It's 10/28/2018. I'm Paul Baalbek III, for anybody out there. You all know Too Tall Paul. I'm going to be going through a series until Dave comes back anyway. We got to keep him in prayer. He's in a lot of pain. I'm always excited to teach or to preach or whatever, but I'm torn because I want to see Dave get back here too. So until then, I got his back. I'm like, there was a place called Ready Man that was a staffing agency, and I'm sort of like that as a teacher or preacher. I'm Ready Man. They call me same morning sometimes. So let's open up in prayer. I'll go through our series of our spiritual blessings in Christ. And I hope, I'm praying, it really revives our hearts. Because revival is not a big stadium like Billy Graham used to have. They call that revival. Revival comes when people get a hold of this wonderful truth in the Word of God. And we'll look at our identities and all of our spiritual blessings. And I hope it just gets us on fire for the Lord. That so much that we can't help but to tell everybody how to get saved and to share the fellowship of the mystery of the fellowship to make all men see that, like Paul, our Apostle Paul. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a beautiful fall day. We thank you for a day that we can come to know you better, that we have a place to assemble together with like-minded believers. And I pray, Father, if there's one here who doesn't know you or maybe watching or listening through the DVDs, or that they would come to know you today. That the preaching of grace, not me preaching or teaching, but the message of grace will adorn the gospel of salvation. And they would desire to come to your Son and receive that free gift of eternal life. And I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit, just the Spirit of Christ in me, would just express itself out of me and be the true teacher this morning. And that you would be glorified. And that not only will we know about you, but we'll know you, your heart, your will, know you better this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Excuse me. So I started out. Last time was almost like a commercial. You know, hopefully whetting your appetites. That not only that you keep coming back for the series, but you look into God's Word yourself and find these things out. Because that's where we find out who we are in Christ. See, what I hope in this, that the Holy Spirit will use me not just to tell you what these spiritual blessings are, but to explain to you how did how do they affect your life? How do they affect your walk? What's it mean? We're going to look at reconciliation as the first one. What's that mean? What's it mean between that God has reconciled you to Himself through Christ, not counting your sins against you? What's that mean? You know, we can know a lot of the doctrines of grace, but not know what they mean. And the Holy Spirit's got to turn the lights on in our minds. So I hope before you came this morning, you were praying, Father, let your Spirit teach me. You know, I can tell you what things say, but the Holy Spirit has to teach you what it means. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:18, and our number one spiritual blessing, we're going to go through, I think, 45, and we're going to look at reconciliation, the blessing of reconciliation. And if I can, after, in between church, I'm going to see if we can use a copy machine. I have an article that I wrote for a Christian internet magazine on our identity in Christ, and I only dealt with 36, because, you know, some things overlap. So here, we dissected a little bit more. But I wrote a pretty good article, and I dealt with 36 of our mentioning of our blessings and how that affects us. So I'm going to try and have copies to hand out. And then also we'll put some on the tables. We got some new books for the Grace and Truth Ministry book table. So I hope you will, you know, sometime it saddens my heart a little bit. You see good sound books there and people not picking them up, and which tells me they're not wanting to research more and understand more of God's grace or different doctrines. You know, when I see them books popping, like when we were gone, you know, there was some books gone, praise God. And then, so this little commercial, I guess, for the book table. When someone comes here, maybe they come just once to visit, and you're trying to introduce them to God's grace, right? Riley Dividing, I'm looking at you, Noah, because if you have seen her on a Facebook book, she tears it up, you know? She used to call up pastors and say, you know that's wrong. And she didn't get away with it, the sweet, strong, you know, matured woman. And she's beautiful, you know. Somebody you might bring might pick up a book, Things That Differ. Or another book about grace. And when they leave, they research it on their own. So that's why I started that. I love reading. The main thing we want to read is the Word of God, right? You know, and then we can test what authors say. Because some books say a whole lot of good stuff, but then, you know, I'm reading a good book right now. I thought it was about the mystery. God's best kept secret. It's not. But it's about our identity in Christ. How to walk in that, and how it's Christ in us. And he's got them truths down, but he doesn't see it from the mid-X perspective, but he's seen some things in Paul's epistles, and I get blessed. So I can discern the rest, and just like they say, chew the meat and spit out the bones, you know? But what I will warn you, don't just read books, because any book, because some books, it's a waste of time, you know? And some books are, if they're so erroneous, maybe they got one good thing in it or something, it ain't worth it. You know, be selective with who you choose to want to learn from. So anyway, including me. Test everything by the Word of God rightly divided. So 2 Corinthians 5:18. Keep my wife in prayer. You notice she's not here. She's got a really bad headache. So when you pray for Dave, keep her in prayer. And also for her, you know, she's going, taking a computer course from the Berean Bible Society. And, you know, she works and she's struggling and, you know, she's a little behind. So keep her in prayer on that. I appreciate it. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm taking her advice. She said, repeat it 2 or 3 times because sometime I'm trying to get everything in. And what I like about doing a series, I don't feel rushed. You know, I gotta get everything in today, you know, the topic. So I can take these topics and just, sometime I've learned I gotta slow myself down. You know, I wanna be passionate, but sometime you can be like a machine gun, you know, and I can be like that, because I want you to get this, and sometime all of a sudden it goes over your heads, you know, there's too much information at one time. So bring my American Kempo karate training in. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Let's go to 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. This can have a few different aspects to it. But who you are in Christ, you're no longer in Adam. That's passed away. Who you are in Christ and your new identity in Christ, all things become new. You're not who you were. And if you don't know that you're not in Adam, you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, you got saved by grace. Now you're a saint, a child of the Most High God. Walk with dignity. Don't put your head down. I'm just a soul sinner. Saved by grace. You know, I'm so humble. No, because if you're just an old sinner saved by grace, then how are you going to walk? As an old sinner saved by grace. Then it makes sense just to sin, right? But if you're a new creation, holy, without blemish, perfect in the sight, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Does it make sense to sin? No, when you know your identity in Christ, when Satan tries to throw them flaming darts at you, you bring up the shield of faith. You've got that belt of truth tied around you. I'm going to be doing another series, or at least one or a couple sessions that I'm doing it on Facebook too, on spiritual warfare. I'm bringing a couple books. I forgot them this morning, but on the armor of God, and also Satan strategies. So there's a lot of garbage out there, and then Dominion, Deliverance Ministries, Biden, Satan, and you know, pick them up by the tail. When I was a Pentecostal, that's what the pastor used to say. Open the back doors. We got them bind Satan. I got them. I got them by the tail. Whoa, move on the side. Satan laughs at that. He's got them deceived. You know, we got armor. We don't bind Satan. Christ destroyed his power. We walk in that newness of our identity. And if you notice, a lot of that armor is all what you have in Christ. When Satan tells you, are you a real Christian? Are you really a believer? Look how you acted. Look how you acted with your wife, your husband, your children. Look how you thought. Look at them thoughts you had. You put on that helmet of salvation. How were you saved? You were saved by grace through faith as a gift of God, not by works. Yes, I'm saved. I might be walking inconsistent with my identity. See? Put up that shield of faith. That's what knowing this Word of God's about. Putting that belt of truth around your waist, right? Having. That means you've been studying. You're prepared. Having them, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. But if you don't know what it is, if you don't know what you have in Christ, how are you going to be sharing that with other people? How are you going to help them when they struggle and go through things? And shouldn't we want to be there for each other? When one rejoices, we rejoice. When one suffering, we all suffer. That's how it should be. And I love my church. I love you all because I found that kind of love here. Now, we ain't all little angels, just for everybody out there to know. We bump heads and, you know. Believe it or not, I bet there's some people who don't like me in church. Disagree with me on things. But one thing we know, we're all members of one body, right? We're a part of each other. And just because somebody's a stanky foot, oh, he's just a stanky foot. I need him. How about if we wash that stanky foot with the word? You know, be there for one another. Build each other up. Love each other. God never said like each other. You got to like each other. He said, forgive as you've been forgiven, as your dearly loved children. Right? We love each other. We ain't be there for each other. Even if somebody bumps heads and don't like each other. You know, that's grace. So let's look at this. So we're new creations, right? How did that begin? How did we have an opportunity to become a new creation? And all these things are of God. Was it because of us? What's the verse say? I love that. We're going to look, if we get to Ephesians chapter 2. So we're going... I'm going to see how many things I'll get in today, but I'm not going to rush it. How many things? But God. I love that. God interceded. But now. In the dispensation of grace. See? So, who caused this? Was it on our part or God's? God provided a way. We just respond to His way by faith. Or some people walk away. Some people ignore it. That's the same as rejecting it. Some people ignore salvation, spiritual life, to live in complete forgiveness, to live with the resurrection life in you and with the vibrant Christian life, walking under grace. Some people walk away. You know why? Because a lot of religious people turn them off. And when we say we're a Christian, they think we're like them too. Bunch of plastic Pharisees that act like they never sin. You see them on Facebook, and it's real easy on Facebook. My life is so wonderful. I'm so happy. My marriage is so good. You know. And in real life, if you know the people, they go, I don't think so. You know. And you see them Pharisees on Facebook that act like they don't struggle and they're ripping people down and, you know. But that's not what grace teaches us. So all these things are from God, who, words are very important, has. H-A-T-H. What does that mean? Is it some that's going to happen, some that's happening, or some that happened? Past tense. So I love going to the Greek. You find tenses, and it's more of an expressive language. Like when we say love, we got one word for love. The Greek has four. It's more definite. So when you just limit yourself to one translation that a lot of people are pretty adamant about, you limit yourself to where you can learn more by going to the originals. God never wrote a book, one word in English, He never inspired. Even though some people want to tell you He did. Only the original document, original autographs were inspired. Then you got copies and copies of copies. So I like going back to the Greek and see what the words mean. Because a translation sometimes, like say the King James, it says, let me just real quick. In Ephesians 2, just give you an example. 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So that's like in the present tense. You know, so you're saved now. Other translations will say you have been saved. You say, and then what do they say? Oh, they're corrupt. No, in the Greek, it's in the perfect tense. It means you were saved at a point in time with continuing results. You continue to stay saved. See, when you go to the Greek, when you look at, and it's in Ephesians 2 about anger, there's a word called orge. It's a certain type of anger. It's, you know, not just getting angry, you know. Because some people say it's a sin to get angry. Didn't Paul say, be angry, but sin not. Don't let that. And there's a word, orgy. It means like a resentful anger. I deserve that. You see that today in society. I deserve a handout. Them rich people shouldn't have that. I deserve it. Well, go work for it. Then you deserve it. Anyway, back to Corinthians. So, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself. How? By Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know you got a ministry? You say, well, our church don't got that many ministries to get involved in. Which is true. I'm hoping that grows some. I pray about it all the time, must have vision, and that everyone, when Paul talks about when we all work together, how we build up the body. And building up the body means reaching out and bringing people into the body through sharing the gospel with them. So I pray for that. But all of us have a ministry. We're ambassadors from heaven. You know, I minister a lot on Facebook. If any of you are my friends, you've seen that. Yeah. My son said, "You go overboard with that Jesus stuff." And I said, "I ain't even got started, son." I said, "Because, and if you don't like it, it hurts me." He befriended me, actually, for a little while. And then probably after I got sick, when I almost died, he put me back on Facebook. But I says, "That hurts me, but nothing's stopping me from serving God and sharing, because the gospel changes people's lives for eternity. And we're ambassadors from heaven." And I see people on Facebook, and not just there, talk to people. You'll listen out here sometimes. What are they more talking about? Things in the world? Or here? And it's fine. I tell people, the bears, right? It's fine to have some conversations. But when we get together and in our lives, we should be focused. We're ambassadors from heaven on loan the planet Earth for a short time. What do we need to do? Redeem the time. Not argue about politics. Not tell sinners how we're against this and we're against that. Yeah, God's word says it. But Paul says, "I don't judge the unbelievers." But he does say, "Let's judge one another in teaching." You know, or we don't judge people's hearts. I don't know why somebody's sinning. You are spiritual if you've seen somebody caught in a sin. That means somebody got caught them, or they got trapped. Their foot's in like a sin trap, a bear trap. You who are spiritual, go and restore them. See, help them up. Don't look down on them. How could you, as a, you're a Christian? How could a Christian do that? Bob George used to say, I learned a lot from him about our identity in Christ. He'd say, "That's the wrong question to ask. You know what we should be asking? How could God do anything good through us?" That's the question. And it's a beautiful thing to know God can use you. We're going to go into justification later. This reconciliation, we want to continue to look at that, because that's our ministry. And then go to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what do we tell unbelievers as ambassadors from heaven? Christ died for your sins, right? If you'll trust he died for your sins and he was buried and he rose, God will save you. See, just because he died for their sins, forgiveness is not salvation. We'll look at that in Romans in a minute. Salvation is being declared righteous and you receive spiritual life. Just because Jesus died for their sins don't mean they're saved. So we tell them, Christ died for your sins. So now, God has... Well, you know reconciliation has the idea? There was something standing in between, like two parties, like in a marriage. It separates you, right? And you deal with that issue. Take it away, and you come back together. Sin separated us from God. God is holy. Well, you know, everybody says God is love. Oh my God, he's got love. He never sent anybody to hell. Oh really? How come people like to take one verse and make whole theology on it, like 1 John 1:9? They take one verse, boy, and make a big theology out of it. They take it out of its context. It's to unbelievers, not to believers. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How many times do you need to be cleansed from all? Once. That's by the blood of Christ. When we get to forgiveness, I'll get to that. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but... God has dealt with, he's not only love, the Bible says what? He's righteous, right? Perfectly. That he can't look upon sin. He's holy, completely separate, above greater than anything, anybody, Satan thought he could hang with God. All God had to do was keep a little secret from him, and he destroyed him. It's called a mystery. Hidden time past, right? We know about that. Hopefully you understand it. But sometimes people understand about rightly dividing the word, separating things that we're, them aren't our instructions, you know, like paying tithes or water baptism. That was instructions to Israel, right? If they confess their sins and get baptized, that what? They'd be saved, right? They'd get forgiven. Paul tells us we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, different instructions. But sometimes people learn to divide the word, rightly divide it. But, yeah, we're not under these instructions in time past or in the future after the rapture. We're in but now, right? What about the but now commands? Paul says that if anyone thinks he's spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge, I gave you the commands of Christ. We got commands of Christ. Are you applying the commands of Christ? They're not like the old Ten Commandments and the law that said if you do this, you'll get blessed. If not, you'll get cursed. You'll be punished. Not like that. These commands, we respond out of gratitude because out of faith, we trust God. And we say, I want to glorify you, God. I know if you tell me something, because you do love me, because you are love, and that I want to apply this in my life, because my life will have meaning here. I'll be a better for my family. I'll be better for my community. I'll be better for my job. I'll be a blessing more to my church. I want to walk in your spirit. Teach me. Don't ask, how do I stop sinning, God? Ask him, what's Paul say? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill lust of the flesh. So start asking him, teach me how to walk in the Spirit, Father. And you won't fulfill lust of the flesh. Is that complicated? Marto, stronger coffee again. It's okay to say, man. Help me out. Let me know, I'm not just weird looking, that's why you're looking at me. You know. Let me know if, you know, that's why you hear me back there in the back. Amen, Pastor, preach it. Because sometimes there's spiritual warfare when you're teaching truth. When you're teaching this word accurately, that's spiritual warfare. You don't think Satan attacks Pastor? Keep him in prayer. And Dave right now, man, Dave is such a good Bible teacher. I don't agree with every little thing. Oh, wow, man, he's so thorough. You think Satan wants him up here edifying you? And he don't want me up here? Because I preach with passion. You know why? This book is living and active. It works in us. The gospel saves people for eternity. Understanding the mystery and appropriating by faith. Like Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. When you get a hold on these things and you start applying it, you get a vibrant walk. Does that mean you're skip to Lou, my darling? How you doing, brother? I think everything's just, praise the Lord. Nothing's wrong. No, it means while you're going through things, you got peace and you got joy. When I'm laying in the hospital bed, I had peace and I had joy and I was in pain all the time. But I wouldn't focus on me. I said, use this for your glory, God. I was reaching out. Use your problems to let other people see Christ in you. Let's quit crying when we go through things. Oh, God, why? If you really love me. You want to know if God loves you? Look at the cross. Where God demonstrate his love in this, while we were still sinners. We didn't deserve it. The wages of sin is death. And what did he do? He offers us life. Reconciliation. So, to wit that God, in verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ. You see? What are you? Praise the Lord, you woke up. As though, this is what's happening when we're sharing the ministry of reconciliation with unbelievers. As though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Well, how does that work? If God reconciled us, why is he saying be reconciled? That's a message he tells unbelievers. Because God, how are you reconciled to God? When you agree with God, what he said he did in Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. You agree and you place your trust. And he saves you. And he, now I want you to see something, because people are afraid to teach the doctrine of reconciliation, that Christ, that God is not holding men's sins against them, because they think that people, and I've never known anybody who believed that because Christ died for all of our sins, that they start teaching that, well, then everybody's going to heaven. I've never known anybody. And I know a lot of people who do. Yet there are some people that do take things to an extreme, like an Acts 28 dispensationalist. That's like an very extreme view. But here's the problem. They think salvation is forgiveness, and it's not. Let's keep going. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ in verse 20. Though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us. This is the great exchange. Who knew no sin, that we might. You see that? That means you might not. If somebody walks away, even though Christ died for their sins, they'll stay spiritually dead and they're unrighteous in Adam still. But when somebody agrees with God and trusts, not just in their head, oh yeah, I believe Jesus died, you know, he died for everybody's sins. I went to a catechism, I learned that, I believe in the Trinity. Yeah. Look what it says. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When you trust that Christ died for your sins personally, not just know the facts, and when you realize you're saved by grace, grace is what? Unmerited, unearned, unworked favor. So it's not, I turn from all my sins and I make a commitment in my flesh to follow God. That I walked an aisle and I gave my life to God. Well, Paul says those in the flesh cannot please God. So how can I walk an aisle that some preacher tells me to come up and commit your life to God? And somebody, the flesh loves that. You got a lot of unsaved people that think they're Christians, that think they're saved. Because they said the sinner's prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. That ain't scriptural. It is true once you trust that Jesus. It's not because you said a prayer. Now, I did say a prayer when I got saved. But my prayer didn't never save me. It was my heart. When I placed my faith, I recognized I'm a sinner. I can't change that. I'm spiritually dead. I can't give myself life. But Christ died my death. He was buried and he rose and he offers me, the moment I trust in that, by grace through faith. Faith means a trust, a dependence. I not only know the facts, I trust he did it for me. Personally, that's when you get saved. Through faith, not of works. Isn't committing your life to Christ's works for an unbeliever? He's trying to bring a bag of dirty, filthy laundry to God. He's in filthy, unrighteous rags saying, ain't that wonderful? Here I am. You can't approach God in rags. You got to come through Christ. Once you come through Christ, what happens? That we're made the righteousness of God in him. God declares you righteous. Christ comes and indwells you at resurrection life. Christ literally is in you. You're never alone when you're going through problems, when you're sick. When I was in the hospital bed in pain every day, I was, thank you, Lord, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ. You got to take what you know. Get a hold of it. Study it out. Pray for understanding. Then when you go through things, you appropriate it. Get a hold on it. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did God say you'll feel it? We go by what? We live by faith, not by sight. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We know it's true because God said it. God can't lie. If He said Christ is in you, He's made you the righteousness of God, of His, in Christ, then I can do all things through Christ. When He says forgive as you've been forgiven, you ain't... Who feels like forgiven? I'm not asking anybody to raise hands because I don't want to call anybody a liar. Your flesh will never feel like forgiving. Your flesh says, you did that to me? Do you know who I am? You punch me one time, I'm going to punch you five. You'll never do that to me again. I'll teach you a lesson. And that's with God's righteousness. God never said, go by your feelings. We live by faith and not sight. You forgive that person. You make a choice to forgive them. And you forgive them the way God forgave you. How much has God forgiven you for? All sins. We have redemption through His blood. We have. We live in. Every sin we ever committed or will commit 2,000 years ago was all in the future, unless you're 2,000 years old. I ain't going to look at nobody because I don't want them to think. Maybe you might look 2,000 years old, but nobody's 2,000 years old. All of our sins. God looked down time, knew every sin you'll do. He took it and put it on Christ. Now God will never punish you for your sins. Why? He punished Christ. Christ suffered a terrible death. The pain, picture it. I don't agree with a lot of that stuff in the movie, The Passion. But boy, did they portray a realistic view of what He went through physically. It was a bloody scene. It wasn't Him on a little cross with the little blood pouring down. His back was in shreds. He had nails put through His hands. A crown of thorns, they mocked Him. They beat Him like no man's ever been beat before. They plucked out His beard. He's God the Son. He's God, right? They spit in God's face. The one who loved them, who's dying for them. The ones who beat Him up. Put the nails through His hands and His feet. He's going up there to die for them. He didn't have a hateful look on His face to them. He had tears coming down. Why? Why do you reject me? I'm doing everything I can do to save you. And what do people do who think they're good people? Oh, that's good for you. Because, you know, in their mind, because you're a sinner. Me, I'm very moral. I'm a good father. I'm a good mother. I do a good job. I don't even take a pencil home from work because that would be silly. I pay my tithes. And I give extra. Sound like the Pharisee in the temple with the tax collector that the Jews thought was a dog, a sewer rat, looking down at Him, telling God how wonderful He is. You know what it said? The guy knew what he was, a sinner. He knew he was a raunchy. That they were right calling Him a sewer rat. He turned on His own people and stuff. Kind of like a greasy mob guy, you know. Cutting money. You know, putting a little money in his pockets. And all he said was, God, be propitious to me, a sinner. And you know what Scripture says? He went away justified. Because he came as a sinner. He knew what he was. But the self-righteous, pride of man, looks at the cross and just keeps walking. Some of the religious people said, Oh, you saved others, but you can't save yourself? Mocking God. That's Christ. You ever hear that song from years ago? How could you say no to that Savior with tears coming down, with eyes of love looking at you? How can anybody, I want to ask, anybody in this church or anybody watching, anybody listening, how could anybody who calls himself a good person walk away from the Savior when God has reconciled? He's not counting their sins against them because they died, but you're spiritually dead. You're not righteous before God. Those in the flesh cannot please God. Yet God dealt with, he put everyone in a position to be saved. That's reconciliation. And how can anybody, you're not a good person, if you can walk away from this magnificent, loving, perfect Savior. But you know what's the good news? He didn't stay on the cross. They took him down, didn't they? They buried him. And he rose from the dead. Victorious over sin, over Satan, over the world. And he offers everyone, if you're a believer and you trusted in Christ's complete, finished work for you, you're righteous in God's eyes. And you're a new creation. And your new nature, that's a nature of righteousness. Your new nature only wants to serve God. But we got a sin nature, right? We're going to get into that later, Romans chapter 6. The cross, not only his blood forgave all of our sins, the cross broke the power of the sin nature. So we don't have to give in to it. So that's why I'm doing this series, so we can know who we, those spiritual riches in Christ, how rich you are. So you can take those riches and your identity in Christ and apply it in your daily walks. And our lives will bring honor to God. I'm not saying we'll be perfect. You're not going to walk on a cloud. But I'll tell you, you can walk with peace, you can walk with joy, and the most important, you can walk in love. And you can speak the truth in love, reaching out to unsaved people, and you can build up and edify. There's so many, I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to put it this way. Lost saved people. They're saved, but they're lost in erroneous doctrine. Satan, once you're saved, he can't do nothing to stop that. God calls it eternal life, right? Correct? I hope you know that. I'll come back next week. Or no, 2 weeks. Steve will probably teach next week. I forgot where I was going with that. Anyway, I'm going to be closing up. If you're in Christ, God can use you. Because he rose from the dead. And the moment you trust in Christ, read Romans 6 till it comes out your ears, coming out your eyes. That's the mechanics of the Christian life. That's where we find out the sin nature's been broke. That's where you find out, the moment you trust in Christ, the message of reconciliation, the gospel of salvation of today in the dispensation of grace, that God identified you. See, before that, Christ did it for everyone, but they're not in, they're still in Adam. The moment you trust, Christ died for my sins. He was buried and he rose to give me spiritual life. God declares you righteous. He takes you out of Adam. You die with Christ, who you were in Adam. That doesn't mean your sin nature ain't there, but you're no longer who you were in Adam, part of the fallen human race. Christ was buried, right? You were buried with him. You died who you were in Adam. And when you bury somebody, why? They ain't never coming back. So when thoughts from your sin nature come from Satan brings up lies and deceptions that sometime from children you've been believing, you know this truth. And you go, no, that's not me. I know my identity in Christ. I've been studying and rightly dividing this word. I know Paul's my apostle, and I know what this says. I rose with Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. That's not me. I don't have to give into that. I don't got to dwell on my sins and my failures. Now, it says, reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. I'm not focused on sin. I'm not trying to resist it in my own strength. What I'm doing, I can do all things through Christ. Take care of it, Lord. Thank you. You're in me. Live through me. Reach people through me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how wonderful you are. It's because you reconciled and you put everybody, you made a way. You dealt with sin once and for all. So we can come to receive righteousness and spiritual life. And we thank you for that. And may you teach us who we are in Christ, who he is in us. That's such a complete union with the resurrected, ascended, and glorified Christ, that we're in such a union and oneness that we're even seated with him in the heavenly places. Help us to see ourselves in that position and that truth. And I pray this week, Father, when we have opportunity and you open up a door, give us the boldness and to speak the truth in love as we ought, to share the gospel with the unsaved. And when we get an opportunity to gently, boldly, but not rudely, share the mystery and how to rightly divide the word with saved people who are so confused and they're not experiencing that joy and they're getting burnt out in their Christian walk because they're trying in their own strength to live the Christian life that only Christ gave us and only he can live it. So I thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. You can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or think or even imagine, because your word doesn't come back void. So I thank you what you'll do through your word being taught this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.